Chapter 2, Getting Started. Let Them and Let Me. In this chapter, you and I are going to dig deeper into the Let Them theory. You're going to learn how to use the two steps of the theory, and we're going to dig into fascinating research in psychology. We're going to talk about stoicism, all of the deep reasons why the Let Them theory is so powerful and why it's going to work. And the way that I want to jump into this is by telling you a story. So not too long after I discovered the Let Them theory, I was just sitting on my couch, scrolling through social media, and I saw this photo of an old friend of mine, and she looked fantastic. And so naturally, I glanced down to read the caption, and in it, she described this amazing weekend she had just had with her friends. And I could tell she meant it because of the photos. She was tan and happy and relaxed and refreshed. And I found myself thinking, wow, I could really use a weekend like that. Hell, I could just use a spray tan at this point. And so I started swiping through the carousel of photos, and I realized, oh my gosh, this is photo after photo of an absolutely amazing weekend away with a bunch of women. They were at brunch and dancing and shopping and laughing and swimming and cocktails. And then I saw this group photo and somebody was wearing a really cute dress. So I took my thumb and my finger and I started to pinch so I could zoom in for a closer look, only to realize I knew every single one of the women smiling back at me on the screen. My heart sank. My friends had all gone away together. You know that awful feeling in your stomach? The one that hits you the moment you realize that you've been left out? It feels like a punch, right? You try to brush it off. You tell yourself, oh, it's not that big of a deal. But the hurt's real. And I know I should have put my phone down. I didn't. You know what I did? I looked at those photos one by one, watching a girl's trip through the eyes of the very same women that I had raised my kids with in our small town. And I tried not to let it bother me, but it did. My mind started to fill in all the details. I imagined how much fun they were having and how close they'd all become. I had known these women for years. We had bonded over barbecues and carpools and soccer games and date nights with our spouses and hard conversations about parenthood. So naturally, I just started to spiral. I'm talking full stalker mode. I sat there on that same spot on the couch. I felt the couch meld to my back as I was poring not just over the photos, but then I went to each and every one of their accounts. And here's the weird thing. 5 minutes before, I had been perfectly fine. But now? Well, now I was sitting here feeling this familiar swirl of emotions from rejection to insecurity to confusion to hurt. I started thinking, well, when did they plan this? Why wasn't I included? Why am I never invited anywhere? When was the last time I went away with friends? And I just kept scrolling and scrolling through their photos and turning these questions over and over in my mind. And at some point, Chris must have walked into the room because I heard him go, what's wrong? I told him the truth. I just found out a bunch of my friends went away for the weekend on a really fun trip, and I obviously wasn't included. That sucks. Maybe I did something wrong. Maybe they're mad at me. He crossed his arms and he asked me, why do you care so much? It's not like you're close friends with them anymore, Mel. Well, that's not what I wanted to hear. But I knew he was right. But I still felt this urge to reach out and just, I don't know, smooth things over. Have you ever experienced that before? You find out you're not included in something and all you want is some kind of reassurance that there wasn't something that you'd done wrong. Because honestly, I didn't know. And if you're anything like me, when it happens, you immediately assume that you've done something wrong. And so as I sat there on the couch and I'm like racking my brain for any evidence as to why I'm not included, and that almost made me more nervous. We had known each other for years. We had gone through early motherhood together and had lived a lot of life together. And I really liked everyone who was on that trip. But at the same time, I hadn't really spent time with them as a group in a long, long time. I'd seen them around town at large gatherings, but I hadn't invested in those individual friendships. I hadn't planned anything fun or reached out to them recently either. Now, in my mind, I knew this, but in my heart, I was devastated. I felt like I was in middle school again, left out of the sleepover, or the one who didn't make the team, or who wasn't part of the inside joke. I found myself wanting to reach out and just try to fix it, call, text, anything to make the anxiety that I was starting to feel go away. And that's when these two words came in and saved me from myself. Let them. See, the old me would have obsessed over this for days. Well, for weeks, really. And my emotions, they would have definitely gotten the best of me. I would have tried to pretend it didn't bother me. Have you ever tried to do that? It doesn't work, does it? I would have tried to convince myself that, oh, I don't care. I would have tried to rationalize it over and over in my mind. And ultimately, I would have turned my friends into villains in order to make me feel better. Oh, well, those stuck-up people think they're bad. All of which would have made me feel worse and withdraw. But thanks to the Let Them theory, that didn't happen. It bothered me for about 10 minutes. As soon as I said, let them, I felt a little better. The second time I said it, I felt a little better. The third, fourth, fifth, 16th, 30th time I said it, I felt a little better. And I'm going to be honest, right up front with you, in these types of painful situations where you feel left out or someone hurts your feelings or somebody breaks up with you, you're going to have to keep saying, let them, over and over. Because when something hurts, the hurt doesn't just disappear. It rises up again and again as you process it. So don't be surprised when you find yourself having to repeat, let them, again and again. Let them go on the trip. Let them take the weekend together. Let them have their fun without you. And at first, those words, they are going to feel like a rejection. It's almost like you feel like you might be giving in, but then you're going to realize something very important. Saying let them isn't about giving in. It's about releasing yourself from the control that you never had over this situation in the first place. Because just stop and think about the story I'm telling you. Was there anything that I could do to change what happened? No. So no matter how much time and energy I poured into analyzing it or wishing I could control it or fix it, it would never change what happened. And besides, their choice to go away, it doesn't have to make me feel bad. Heck, I didn't even know about it earlier in the day. It was my attempt to control the situation that was making me feel horrible. Let them. And just like that, the knot in my chest, it began to loosen. And this pressure to fix the situation and this fear that I had done something wrong, it just started to fade. And I realized something. Their weekend, it had nothing to do with me. It wasn't personal. They're not plotting against me. They're not making a statement about my worth or whether or not I deserve to have fun times with friends. And even if they were making a statement, let them. In these types of painful situations, you're going to have to keep saying, let them, over and over. Because when something hurts, the hurt doesn't just disappear. It rises up again and again. So don't be surprised when you find yourself in a situation, whether it's being left out or somebody's hurt your feelings, or you get laid off, or you didn't get into your dream school, or somebody breaks up with you, that you're going to have to keep repeating, let them, again and again. So let's talk about what we're really trying to control. Because we all have moments where we try to control the world around us, and that's especially true when you feel hurt or left out or annoyed or afraid. For example, maybe you found yourself trying to manage every detail of a group plan to make sure everyone is included and everybody's happy. Or maybe you've stressed about whether people are upset with you. Or have you ever been in a situation where someone's not responding to your messages right away, and now all of a sudden you're super stressed out about whether or not they're upset with you? It's exhausting, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I'm a fixer by nature. I've spent most of my life believing that if I didn't step in, if I didn't manage a situation, then things are going to fall apart. If I didn't do it, it's never going to get done. I had to be the one who kept everything together, whether it's relationships or work or friendships or the weekend plans, even the emotions of the people I love. And when something didn't go the way I expected, I used to feel like it was a reflection on me. If someone was upset, if something didn't work out, if I wasn't included, I automatically thought, okay, I have to fix this. I got to change it. I got to control it. And even if you're not like this, you probably love someone who is. And every time they get into that mode where they're just go, 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 and they just take care of everything, you freeze. You don't know what to do. That's the way that my husband is. And that's not good either. These are examples of what we do when we feel like things are out of control. I'm the kind of person that jumps into overdrive. My husband feels more in control and safe if he takes a step back. In both of these reactions to stressful situations, you're losing your power. In talking to so many psychologists while researching this book, I learned that the urge to control things comes from a very primal place. Fear. Fear of being excluded, of not being liked, of getting in trouble, of doing something wrong, or of things falling apart if we're not the ones steering the ship or if we get in the way. And it shows up in all kinds of ways. We hover over our kids, making sure they make the right decisions. We try to influence our partner's habits and worry that if we don't step in, somehow they're going to get it wrong. We even impose our opinions on friends, believing we know better than they do about how their lives should unfold. Now, I've felt this fear a lot in my life. Fear that if I didn't make things happen, I'd be forgotten. Fear that I wouldn't be liked or accepted. Fear that without me doing everything, things would unravel. And let's be real. Control gives you the illusion of safety. When you're in control, you believe you can protect yourself from pain, disappointment, rejection. But it's just that. It's an illusion. Because no matter how much you try to control people or situations, the truth is, you can't. People will do what they want to do. They're going to make their own choices, and they're going to live their own lives. The fact is, none of that control, whether it's you doing, or you taking a step back and freezing, actually makes you feel better. In fact, it has the opposite effect. Trying to control people in situations, it's not going to calm your fears. It amplifies them. Any psychologist will tell you, the more you try to control something you can't, the more anxious and stressed out you become. Sitting on that couch, staring at my phone, I started to realize I wasn't just trying to control what my friends thought of me. I was trying to control my own emotional discomfort. I hated feeling rejected. So my immediate reaction was to try to just fix the situation and figure out what I had done wrong so that I didn't have to feel anything at all. And that's when the let them theory started to kick in at a much deeper level for me. Let me give you another example of how this works. Let's say that you're at a meeting at work, right? And you've come up with an idea and you're super excited about it. You've put a lot of thought into it and you know it has potential. But when you pitch it, crickets. The room goes quiet. I mean, people, yeah, they nod politely, but then they move on. And before you know it, someone else's idea is getting all the attention. How do you feel in that moment? Well, I know how I feel. I feel unappreciated. I feel invisible. I then start second guessing myself. And then I wonder if I should have said it differently or tried a little harder, or maybe I'm not smart enough, or I'll make up some story about the person whose idea it was, that they're the favorite, and they always get the attention. I'm sure you can relate to that because we all do it. And here's what I want to highlight. In that moment, when people dismiss an idea and then politely nod, you get to choose. Are you going to let this dismissal crush you? Or are you going to say, let them? Let them dismiss it. Let them go with a different idea. I mean, their response doesn't change the value of your idea. It doesn't change your worth as a contributor. They might have gone with a different strategy, but that doesn't mean your idea wasn't great. You're still the same person with the same talents and the ability to succeed. And the fact that you had an idea to pitch proves it. Let them. And in fact, if you want to be successful at work and successful in business or successful as an entrepreneur, you need this. Because one of the keys to being successful is being able to hear rejection and go, let them, and move on. Every single successful entrepreneur has the same story. There were 100 people that said no before someone said yes. And the same is going to be true with you. Here's the difference. You now have the let them theory. So you're going to be able to hear the rejection, say, let them. And then you're going to say, let me. Find the next one and move on. And the same thing goes for dating. Maybe you've been texting someone and you think things are going somewhere, but then out of nowhere, they ghost you. Like no response, no explanation. It stings. It always hurts when somebody does that to you. And then you start to wonder, what did you do wrong? And you start replaying every conversation in your head, and then you're trying to figure out what went off the rails. Then there's the temptation to text them again, to find out some way to get closure. I mean, it's almost overwhelming. And I think every single one of us has been there at some point. But that's where the let them theory comes in. You're going to say, let them. Let them ghost you. Let them disappear. Let them show you who they are. Their disrespect doesn't say anything about you. How you respond does. So stop asking yourself, why are they doing this to me? Because the question is, why do you want to be with someone who does this to you? You don't. Don't waste your energy chasing someone who's already left. Focus on what you can control. And that's processing your emotions and reminding yourself that you deserve someone who treats you with respect. Bye. Now, in both of these situations, whether it's work, dating, or anything else, when you say let them, you're recognizing what's in your control and what isn't. Instead of spiraling, you're choosing to steady yourself and detach. As I said earlier, other people hold no real power over you unless you give them that power. Every time you say let them, you take your power back. Or take me in the situation on the couch. I wasn't even aware that my friends had gone away together. The second I saw the photos from their trip online, though, I reacted. My emotions took over. That's what made me feel insecure and left out and less than. And then, of course, I had to take it a step further and just start trashing myself and telling myself that I had done something wrong, which, of course, oh, that makes you feel good. If I'm being dead honest with myself, I did it to myself. My friends didn't do anything to me. They're just living their lives. They're allowed to go away. They're allowed to plan a weekend with whomever they want. And they're allowed to plan a weekend without me. The way I reacted to their trip is what hurt me. And this is a very, very important nuance to understand. And I really want to unpack this with you in detail. This moment where you realize how your reaction either hurts or empowers you. And so I'm going to bring in a visual to help you really understand what's happening when you say let them and when you say let me, and why this is working so well when you do. And I want to use the visual of a seesaw on a playground, okay? You know, where you're on one end and someone else is on the other end, and you go up and you go down and you go up and you go down, because this visual of a seesaw is going to help us explain the power dynamic between you and other people and how it goes up and down. And how you can use the let them theory whenever you feel you've just lost your power. So whenever someone does something that just bothers you or frustrates you or makes you hurt or stresses you out, whether it's planning something and not including you or passing you over for an opportunity that you wanted or just saying something rude, you're either going to act in a positive or a neutral way. Now, if you react negatively, and you start to have self-destructive thoughts or heavy emotions, like I did on the couch, those heavy emotions, what do? They weigh you down. When you feel rejected and upset, it brings you down. And if you really think about it, your reaction is what tips the scales and changes the dynamic between you and someone else. And so I want to explain this seesaw with the example of me simply seeing my friends going away online. The second I saw that photo, I felt inferior. I felt jealous. I felt insecure. I felt left out. I felt less than. I felt those things. It created heaviness in me. And just like a seesaw tips down to the ground, that's what I did to myself. And any time you internalize other people's thoughts, actions, or feelings as evidence that somehow you're a bad person, or your ideas are dumb at work, or that you've done something wrong, or your mother's bad mood is your fault, you just give power to the other person. And it shifts the dynamic and balance in the relationship, and you start to feel beneath them. And that's exactly what happened when I started to say to myself, oh my God, I had done something wrong. I was left out intentionally. Feeling inferior and jealous and insecure, those thoughts and emotions, they're heavy. That's what tipped the scales. It seemed to make my friends go up. All of a sudden, I'm not having a fun Saturday noon on the couch. I feel like I'm at the bottom of a seesaw looking up at people that are superior to me. Well, that's before the let them theory. What happens when you say let them is you free yourself from the weight of all the negativity that just made you sink. As soon as you say, let them go away. Let them not include me. Let them have fun without me. You just feel lighter. It's almost like pushing off the ground on a seesaw, right? What happens? You go up, your friends go down. Now you're the one up there. You're the one looking down on your friends. The power dynamic shifts when you say, let them. You start to feel superiority. You start to detach from those negative emotions of jealousy. Let them. It gives you this kind of false sense of control. That's why people love saying, let them. Because when you're up, you feel superior and you push through these heavy emotions and you rise up. And this is automatically going to make you feel better than anyone else. You're going to feel wiser. You're going to feel above everyone, which makes it easy to detach from this situation that just bothered you. It helps you move through the situation and accept what's happening. It's going to help you process that painful experience. Let them. Now look, a little superiority, it goes a long way when you're in an emotional spiral. But then that moment of saying, let them, it's over. And then you're going to think, okay, well, now what? And you're going to be sitting up there looking down on other people, and you're going to start to feel stranded in your superiority. And that's exactly what happened to me. You know, after I started saying, let them, I didn't really know what to do after I said it either. Because saying it and getting that jolt of superiority, it feels good, and detaching from the emotion feels great. But that's the easy part. I didn't know what to do next. And that's the danger of only saying, let them. If all you ever do is say, let them, let them, let them, it will lead you to feeling more isolated in your life. It will make you want to withdraw or shut down. And that's exactly what the old Mel Robbins would have done with the situation with my friends. If I had just stopped at the let them go away. I don't want to be on that trip anyway. I can imagine it now. I would have just sat there in my superiority. I wouldn't have reached out. And I probably would have gossiped about them behind their backs with other friends that weren't there. And then I would have felt very awkward every time I saw them. And keep in mind, these are people I like and I want to be friends with. I want you to stop and think about a situation where you see friends of yours going out and doing something without you. When it happens, it hurts. It always hurts to be excluded. Heck, maybe it's your siblings that aren't including you. I mean, you want to be included on the golf trip. You want to be invited over to watch the game. You want to go away for the weekend. I mean, wouldn't it be fun to go out for drinks with your cool coworkers? You want to have great, fun friendships. And I want that for you too. So let me ask you a question. How exactly is feeling morally superior going to help you create those great friendships? It's not. Saying let them just relieves you of the hurt and pain you feel, but only momentarily. And look, it feels amazing to blame other people. And it feels awesome to think you're better than other people. But as your friend, I am obligated to warn you that if all you do is say let them, you will find yourself without a lot of friends, without a lot of social plans, and you're going to be confused as to why the theory isn't working in your favor. And that brings me to a major discovery that I made when I first started researching the theory. Saying let them is just the first half of the equation, and you cannot stop there. There is a second critical part to the theory. Let me. The source of your power is not in managing other people, it's in managing your response. When you say, let me, you're tapping into that power by taking responsibility for what you do, think, or say next. Let me is the part where you realize you are in control of what happens next, and that life is way more fun and fulfilling when you're not sitting alone on your couch in your superiority. Let me is the power move. That's why the theory only works if you say both parts. When you say let them, you make a conscious decision to not allow others' behavior to bother you. When you say let me, you take responsibility for what you do next. What I love about let me is that it immediately shows you what you can control. And there's always so much you can control. You can control your attitude, your behavior, your values, your needs, your desires, and what you want to do in response to what just happened. Let me is the opposite of judgment. Let me is self-awareness, compassion, empowerment, and personal responsibility. Your friends who went away aren't better than you, and you're not better than them. This is the crux of the let them theory. Let them and let me. And the more you allow people to live their lives, the better your life will get. The more control you give up, the more you will gain. Because the let them theory is not about superiority at all. It's about balance. It's about making room for both you and someone else. It's about giving other people the space and the grace to live their lives, and then giving yourself the same. Let me take the example of my spiral around my friends going away for the weekend. First, I said let them, which helped me rise above the situation and the hurt that I felt. And saying let them helped me separate myself from the emotions I was feeling. And that's the first step, because getting all emotional and spiraling and then blaming other people or trashing yourself, it's not going to magically improve your friendships. The superiority gave me the mental space to really look at the situation from above. And the more I said let them, the more space I had to consider my role in this situation. And more importantly, what do I want to do about this? And when I stopped to look in the mirror, I saw a lot. I had been so busy working these past few years, I've barely seen my friends. I hadn't invited anyone to do anything in a very long time. Maybe I wasn't excluded. Maybe they didn't think of me at all. And if I'm not making an effort or reaching out or bumping into them around the neighborhood, why would they think of me? Plus, I've been so busy with my life and work and kids, unless I saw my old friends post online, I didn't think about them much either. No one owes me an invite. No one owes me a call. And yes, you deserve friends who reach out. But whose responsibility is it to create those friendships? And more importantly, let me be honest with myself. Have I been doing my part? And when I detached from my emotions and I stopped to ask myself that question, have I been doing my part? The answer was no. When you're an adult, your social life is your responsibility. If you want more fun, you should get your butt off the couch and create a great social life. And yes, I'm talking to myself here too. Let me stop expecting other people to include me. Let me take responsibility for what I want in life. Let me figure out the deeper issue that I need to look at. Let me be more proactive about reaching out to people. Let me invite people to do something this weekend. Let me throw a party for once. Let me develop better boundaries with work so I actually have time for friendship. Let me prioritize my social life because clearly it matters to me because I'm upset on the couch, but it's my responsibility to create one. Let me reach out to a few of these women to reconnect, not in a passive way, not to smooth things over, not to get an invite to their next getaway. But because once I said let them and let me, I rose above my emotion and I connected with the deeper truth that I actually really miss a few of these women. And seeing that post online made me realize that I work way too much and I want to make an effort to rekindle my friendship with them and a few other people now that I'm thinking about it. And that's the power of this. Before the Let Them Theory, I would have felt powerless. I would have given that one photo so much control over how I felt about myself for weeks, maybe even months. It would have impacted the way I felt about other people. The Let Them Theory changed all that. By saying let them, I could detach from the spiral and let other people live their lives. And by saying let me, I could see that I actually had a lot of power. And there were limitless things that were within my control if I chose to do them. Now, after discovering the second part of the theory and the power of saying let me and focusing on what's in your control and taking responsibility for what you do in response to what's happening around you, my research led me to something even more exciting. And that is that the Let Them Theory isn't just this mindset hack. Based on the research that I've done, it is deeply rooted and supported by ancient philosophies and psychological concepts that have guided people for centuries. If you're familiar with Stoicism, Buddhism, detachment theory, or radical acceptance, you're going to recognize that saying let them and then saying let me, it applies these teachings and turns them into a practical everyday tool that you can use to reclaim your personal power. It moves the intellectual into the tactical. That's why this is so powerful. So before we jump into the 8 core areas of your life that you're going to be using the Let Them Theory, let's just take a second and dive a little deeper into how the theory is supported by things like Stoicism. In Stoicism, the focus is on controlling your own thoughts and actions, not the thoughts or actions of others. Now, this philosophy aligns perfectly with saying let them, which is about consciously allowing others to make their own choices and to live their lives without feeling the need to manage or influence their behavior. By saying let them and then saying let me, what you're doing is you're applying the core principle of Stoicism in real time. And that core principle is focus on yourself, because that's where your true power lies. Two other important foundational philosophies and psychological teachings kept coming up over and over and over, and that's Buddhism and radical acceptance, both of which teach that suffering comes from resisting reality. The pain you feel often stems from wishing things were different than they are. The Let Them Theory helps you not only accept reality, but also it's a tool that helps you separate yourself from the need to change it. See, when you acknowledge that other people's actions and choices are not yours to control, in doing so, you reclaim your emotional freedom. This is radical acceptance in its most empowering form. Another concept that kept coming up over and over again is detachment theory, which is a psychological principle that teaches you how to emotionally distance yourself from situations that may trigger you or make you feel out of control. So when you say, let them, you're practicing emotional detachment. And one of the reasons why I love this is because oftentimes, I don't know about you, but these concepts and philosophies and psychological modalities, they're so intellectual that I understand them, but I don't know how to apply them. And that's why the Let Them Theory is so powerful. It's a tool. When you say let them, you create a mental gap between your emotions and the situation at hand. And that allows you to observe what's happening without being consumed by it. The result? You remain calm, clear-headed, and in control of what you do next. And that is exactly what detachment theory is trying to teach you, but it's the Let Them Theory that will help you apply it. I love this. And one more thing I wanted to say, because I saw this coming up a lot in the research too, and that is this concept of just letting it go. For me personally, the Let Them Theory is not at all the same thing as, quote, letting it go. And here's why. I've personally never been able to let anything go. Because when I say, oh, just let it go, Mel, it never feels resolved or complete. It kind of feels like you've just walked away from something that's bothering you and you've swallowed your feelings and you've moved on because you have no choice but to do it. You know what I mean? When you say let them, it's different. Because when you say, let them, you're not giving up or walking away. I heard somebody say, it's almost like you're allowing it, but you're not allowing it. And that's right, because what you're truly doing is you're freeing yourself from it. You're releasing that grip that you have on how things should go and allowing them to unfold as they will go. And that is way more empowering than just going, all right, I'll just let it go. Oh, no, 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 no. We're going to let them. Boom. The beauty of the Let Them Theory is that it helps you master and apply these practices in real time in your day-to-day life by simply saying two words, let them, or saying, let me. I mean, it's just extraordinary. And that means something really cool. You can finally stop being ruled by your emotions and start living a more peaceful and intentional life. I mean, doesn't that sound good? Of course it does. I'll tell you what else, though. It feels even better. Now, before we dive in and go further, two warnings. As I was researching this book, two really important questions kept coming up repeatedly from people who were learning about the Let Them Theory online and who were starting to apply it. And so I want to address them right now before we dive into the rest of the book, where we look at eight different areas of your life where you're going to use the Let Them Theory for the greatest impact. Now, the first question that people kept asking was, Mel, does the Let Them Theory apply to kids? The answer is yes. You can absolutely use the Let Them Theory with your kids, with some very important caveats. But this book is specifically focused on how you apply the theory with adults and in adult relationships. Now, throughout the book, I make very clear distinctions between adults and children in order to avoid any confusion. But if you're looking for more guidance on how to use this approach with children, teens, and young adults, because let's face it, you can't just let them or else they're going to be running in the middle of the streets and eating popsicles for dinner, you got to be the adult. But it does apply and it can help you create deeper and more loving relationships with your kids. So I've included a very special guide in the appendix at the end of the book that will break this down in detail for you. The second question that I kept seeing is, what do I do if I'm using the Let Them Theory and it's making me feel lonely? Now, this is a really critical point that I wanted to highlight because some people have shared that they feel lonelier after using the Let Them Theory. If you're feeling this way, it's a sign of two things. Number one, you're applying the theory incorrectly, because the Let Them Theory has two essential steps. The first step, saying let them. The second step, you got to say let me. Because let me is where your power lies. Let me is where you see that you're responsible for your next move. And let me is where you see all of the things that you could do that are going to help you create the life or the relationships or the connections that you want. And without this step, you will find yourself disconnected rather than feeling empowered. If all you do is say let them, you're going to find yourself without a lot of friends, without a lot of social plans, and you're going to be confused. Why isn't this working? And there's one other twist to this that I also want to highlight, and that is your behavior with people that you care about. Because let them is also not an excuse to stop answering your phone or to shrug your shoulders or to refuse to talk it out with a friend or a family member who's hurt. It's never an excuse to say let them and stay in a situation that hurts you or to ignore discrimination or dangerous behavior. Let them is not a license to give someone the silent treatment or ghost people or avoid hard conversations or withdraw from your relationships, because it's not meant to leave you feeling alone or invisible. And it's not an excuse to avoid the hard conversations, because it's meant to leave you more connected and more fulfilled in every single one of your relationships. The theory is here to make your life better, not worse. And it will when you use it correctly. So I'm going to remind you one last time, always remember to say, let me, because that's the part that changes your life and makes your relationships better. And this was something I had to learn, because when I started using the Let Them Theory, I saw how often I blamed someone else for the fact that I was alone sitting on my couch or not making the money I wanted to make, or how often I said yes due to guilt and then was mad at the person for making me feel guilty because I didn't want to disappoint someone else, or how often I used the excuse of being too tired to make my health or fun a priority. The Let Them Theory taught me that when you're an adult, your life and your happiness and health, healing, social life, friendships, boundaries, needs, success, they are all your responsibility. If you've been secretly hoping someone else would come and rescue you, fix your problems, pay your bills, create a social life, heal your wounds, change into your dream partner, or motivate you to be your best, it's not going to happen. No one is coming. And anytime you spend blaming other people or waiting for permission or some invitation to come, wasted. Those days are over. Got it? Good. Because now that I've given you the warning, let me give you the great news. Your life is going to change, and it's going to change immediately, because the Let Them Theory is the key to taking your power back. So let me tell you what's going to happen with the rest of the book. The rest of the book is divided into two big sections, and the one we're about to jump into is all about you and the Let Them Theory, and how you have created four major obstacles that are standing in the way of all your success, your health, your happiness, and your dreams. The second half of the book is dedicated to using the Let Them Theory to improve your relationships. In the next two chapters, we're going to focus on how you've allowed other people to create unnecessary stress in your life. And I'm going to teach you, using the Let Them Theory and some incredible research from an amazing physician at Harvard Medical School, to stop allowing other people's behaviors, opinions, drama, etc. to stress you out. Because you, my friend, have way bigger fish to fry. And learning to manage your stress, it's not only the easiest way to learn how to use the Let Them Theory, it's also the fastest way to learn how to protect your peace and find more power. So let's jump in.